What a good day. Huh? This is Penn Jillette here on the Free FM, CBS Radio. It's a celebratory day, I think. It's a beautiful day in Vegas, first of all. And Michael Goudeau sitting across from me here. Did I say it was Penn Jillette?
Yeah.
I did, didn't I? Sure. Okay. I always like to get that. I have it written right here, so then I'll say it every time that I'm Penn Jillette. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. The news today is good news, bad news, really. The bad news is that the Democrats are talking about a draft, or at least Rangel is. I mean, it's not every single Democrat, of course. Rangel is talking about it. But we also have silicone breast implants are legal again.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's party day.
It's very good news. It's very good news, not just because...
it will inspire young men to join the military.
Large breasts are nice and pleasant, but also because it shows... at least that time will overcome junk science. All that anti-silicone breasting.
12 years.
But it was complete jive.
Yeah.
Complete and utter jive. There was no proof to it whatsoever. And yet they bowed to uninformed public opinion and banned them. And they still could leak, but then you just have plastic inside your body. And how bad is that? Not that terrible. So, we tried to get...
I had a set.
You had a set?
I had a set for juggling.
I had a set. What size were yours?
They were gigantic.
Yeah, I didn't have gigantic ones. I had like a D or something.
I had gigantic.
And Neil Patrick Harris, mm-hmm. when he was over my house before he was an adult and before he was, openly gay, he was over my house visiting because he was a Penn and Teller fan, and he would walk around carrying around the silicone implant. It was the greatest thing in the world to carry. Do you use for juggling? Did you
ever use it for juggling? I didn't do it as a routine, but there were points in my career where I had to work parties as like a Muzak in the background, kind of hanging around juggling while people walked around.
Yeah, sure.
And so what I discovered was if I brought breast implants, I could juggle, and people would stop and talk to me.
Uh-huh.
And if you were just juggling, people hated you,
yeah.
and you were just annoying. But if you had breast implants, people came by and they talked to you and they held them, and you could teach people to juggle with breast implants because they wanted to hold them.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they're kind of
we're both making that gesture.
They're more disc-like.
They're disc-like
than you'd expect. But the saline, I had a saline one because mm-hmm. What happened was Doogie Howser, Neil, would carry around that night he was over. He would not let go of it. It was a really good. It's a really great thing. The silicone implants
feel
terrific. As a matter of fact, yeah, he was Dr. Doogie Howser, so he was MD, so he was okay to do that. But really, I'd like to get a hold of another. Get a hold of another set. Of
We just beg. Send us six if you have
them. 866.
Send us the because I had seconds. Mine had bubbles kind of inside.
But PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. There must be somebody that's selling them that we could just buy breast implants that weren't connected to breasts. But I should say right now, because this is a very important thing to say, when you're a man, and you are, and you're talking about breasts, which you always are if you're a man, you always should say what your theory on breasts is. And my theory is very important. Penn Jillette's theory on breasts is very important. All that matters about breasts is how much the person that owns them likes them. That's the important thing. You want the person that you are involved with to love their breasts very much. And it doesn't matter how they get to that love, whether it's implants, whether it's acceptance, but nothing else I've found matters. Now, you like large breasts.
I do.
Yeah. So
I do, but you're right.
Penn's theory doesn't work with you.
Yes, it does. It does. The main part is appreciation of your own body.
Yeah, because when someone apologizes...
If you want to work them, they're going to work.
Yeah. There's
if
nothing,
you're running them.
There's nothing that is worse for sex to me than someone apologizing for their body, which is something that people do. People will do that. You ever had that happen?
No.
You know, saying, oh, I'm a little bit fat. You know, that uncomfortable thing. You never had that happen?
No.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's an uncomfortable thing.
I'm probably the guy who apologizing.
Do you apologize yourself?
No, I don't.
I think there's nothing that's more of a turn-on killer than that. But I would like to, what happened to my, I had a girlfriend in New York, and I came home one day, and my breast implant had been punctured and destroyed. And she said it was that one of the carpenters working at the house had dropped it on a nail.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you skeptical?
This is a Christmas story, isn't it? This is the whole leg lamp breaking story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's your version. As a tribute to Gene Shepherd, we're going to do our version using breast implants.
Yeah, I think that might be it. It might have been that kind of hostility thing. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio. Now, see, that's what I don't really understand radio very well, because I thought when I said we would like some breast implants, and then said 866-570-PEN 7366, that the phones would light up with people who are filled with the holiday spirit.
Plastic surgeons.
Plastic surgeons. Are they on eBay? They have them on eBay? Look, go to eBay, Godot. Can you go to eBay?
Well, that's my team.
I can go. I know. The thing is that I'm trying to talk to on... we could take a little break, and we could both go to eBay. And what is under implants, silicone implants? And you can buy them? How much they go for? I guess you're going to...
Patrick's not answering us.
Find that out.
Well, there you go. That's what I should say.
That's all we need.
Not for human incursion.
Good. Yeah, we want those. I couldn't spell silicon. Can you spell silicon?
Yeah.
Okay, then you can find it probably. But we're going to be buying. I loved having them around. They just feel really good. And then later on, I got the saline ones to replace the one that fell supposedly on a nail, and they evaporated. They turned into just a little bit of salt in a bag. Salt in a Bag. That's another album. We could another name.
another band name.
866-570-PEN-7366. You know, I don't like guys that talk about how they don't like phony breasts or they don't like implants. It just seems there's this thing that guys say that I think they're so used to saying to women that don't have implants that they want to look cool that they say this whole thing. And it's always guys who haven't had that much experience with implants. So Penn's theory of breasts is no matter how your breasts look, as long as you like them, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I'm on your side. Big, small, indifferent, non-existent, I'm totally with you everywhere. 866-570-PEN 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. I'm a big fan of breasts.
I don't see them on eBay at all. I think Patrick's lying.
Patrick's lying. Did you find them on eBay or did you see lying? Under implants.
Just implants.
I'm just implants.
Because why would you want to include breast in that?
Yeah, why would you want to? just under implants. Let me see. We're gonna find this. And we're going to buy some because I really miss them that I had.
Like
breast
implants.
Bravo 11 enhancement machine. Oh, no, that's not good. Oh, yeah, 425cc silicone breast implants, $80. $80. I'll have to buy those. Or, you know, people listening, Christmas time is coming. What are you giving to your favorite talk show? Oh, yeah, those look like the ones that I had. I don't know what the sizes are. I'm selling these only as gag gifts, paperweights, etc., not meant for human incursion. These are real 425cc silicone implants. They have never been used and are still wrapped in plastic. You know, it's really funny that he says, you know, not for incursion, because it would be great if you went to eBay and bought silicone implants and then went and got a bottle of Jack Daniels and a razor blade and just, what the hell, let's give it a try. You know, my friend Enigma, you know, the guy with all blue with the tattoo pieces, Enigma had horns in his head. You know, he had horns implanted, and it was also this woman I met at the fetish and fantasy ball. I met this woman who had her tongue bifurcated.
Right,
you know, it was cut down the middle, and she could kind of wrap it around itself and so on. And she also had this like cross, like a German cross, of silicone underneath the skin of kind of her lower neck, upper chest, whatever, she said, it was the same guy, she said the same thing that Enigma said, which was his surgeries were done, his body mods were done by a guy who wasn't a doctor, but was really, really into medicine.
Yeah, I confess.
That's frightening, isn't it? That's frightening. Isn't that frightening?
That's frightening. Why wouldn't you just get a doctor to do it?
So we found breast implants, and we can get them. And they're legal now, and that's really good. Do you want?
That's a pretty good size, too. You know, the 425 cubic centimeters is, one and a half, 1 3/4 cups, basically. So it's, you know, it's a reasonable ball size.
Did you do that in your head, or did you do it?
No, I don't know. Okay.
So it's like a baseball size, right?
Yeah, baseball size. Maybe a little bit larger.
I think the ones that I had were a little bigger than that. I only had one, though. They often come in pairs, but I only had one. But it was a great thing. But let's get to a the draft, because the phones didn't really light up with the breast plan thing. I thought they'd be like real celebrity. I thought they'd be like, you know, a sailor kissing his girlfriend in Times Square. I thought it would be like that when they were legal again. But this House Democrat, Representative Charles Rangel, the Democrat from New York, said Sunday that he would like to reinstate the draft. This is a big change. You know, he's the House Ways and Means Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, coming in with the new Democrat thing. And he says, there's no question, this is Rangel talking, there's no question in my mind that this president and his administration would never have invaded Iraq, especially on the flimsy evidence that was presented to Congress, if indeed we had a draft and members of Congress and the administration thought that their kids from their communities would be placed in harm's way, Rangel said. Rangel is a veteran of the Korean War who has unsuccessfully sponsored legislation and conscription in the past, has said that an all-volunteer military disproportionately puts the burden of war on minorities and lower-income families. Now, there was just an article, was it in the Times a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
About the military, and there's a sense, you know, when I said to Patrick, before we asked you about this, before we were talking to you on the air, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, penradio@gmail.com. Before we were talking to you, we were talking amongst ourselves, Happy Jack, Goudot, Patrick, me. And Patrick was very much the general position that the people that went in the military were lower class and less well-educated, which the studies that I've been reading lately don't seem to say that at all. They seem to say the military, if anything, is a little better educated and financially is not coming from poorer families. But the odd thing about this is that when I was in high school, and I am just too young for the draft by like 6 months, you know, for the other Vietnam.
Right.
If I was 6 months older, I would have had to have a draft number. But as it is, I'm young enough that I didn't have to go. I was very nervous about it. I did not want to go into the Army. I did not want to go into the military. One bit, not a bit, did I want to go to Vietnam.
You seem like you'd have done really well in it.
You think so?
No, not
my personality. My personality is so set.
You'd have been shot by your own troops. That's no question. Right in the back.
Yeah, I would have had a tattoo on my ass that said friendly fire. I mean, I'm just born for friendly fire. But I squeezed in. I squeezed out, I guess is the word. So I didn't have to go. But
you know, the last time Charles Rangel introduced this legislation in 2003, the House voted like 400-2 against it. So, you know, he's bringing it up again. He's going to keep trying. And I have to say that I like his reasoning on this. I mean, I don't like what he's chosen to do, but I like the idea of, well, you know, if you want to run this war, your kids have to go.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
See, I know you don't like that, but I think that's a fun idea.
Yeah, but you know, but the odd thing is, when I was in high school and worried about the draft, it seemed to me that the idea of the lefties, the Democrats, was that we were against the war, and it seems like the rights, the conservatives, were for the war. So I would have never dreamed that a movie like Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, the Michael Moore movie. When that came out, I thought the major thrust of that movie, which was supposed to be just hating Bush, it was supposed to be the whole movie, although I do think it helped him get elected by a lot, but the Michael Moore movie seemed to be pushing for a draft. You know, this whole thing about trying to get people to join and how they were using that seemed to say that we should have a draft, you know? And I just think that's kind of the opposite of what you think it would be for that to be that way, you know.
I guess
I'm not really saying it clearly, but you would think that it would be the right wingers who would want the draft and the left wingers who wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be going the other way. I mean, Rangel is,
well, you know, the left wingers are saying, you know, if your kid was going, would you be voting for a war? And I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. But 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. It's an interesting point, but I don't think it's morally valid. And this goes back to one of the worst things that that John F. Kennedy said, which was, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I do not believe we are supposed to owe things to our country, certainly not our lives. Now, people that want to fight and see their patriotism that way, but making that the general rule for everybody that you're essentially everything's for your country.
People
and then you were second.
That your government is set up to serve you. It's a gas station. It's something to help your life, to make your life better.
I would think so. That's
you
what
know?
I would think so. So I don't
it's
think
a service
that,
organization.
That going over to fight is exactly what I want to do. I also found another heartbreaking piece of information, which was that I have always thought that John F. Kennedy at the Berlin Wall said, Ich bin ein Berliner. That's my German pronunciation. Ich bin ein Berliner. And that meant I'm a jelly donut. And because Berliner is a kind of jelly donut, and if you put A in front of it, he wanted to say, I am a resident of Berlin. I'm a Berlin citizen of Berlin. But he really said, I'm a jelly donut. And we did a search before we went on the air, because, you know, if there's one thing we don't like to do on this show, it's go off half-cocked. And we found out, searching on the web, that he actually said it in impeccable German. That's just a total,
isn't it?
Total urban myth. That's so sad, because the President of the United States standing for the German people and saying, I'm a jelly donut, is just fat. See, that's why you wouldn't want me as president, because I would make that right. I would go somewhere and say, not even in German, I would say it in English, I am a jelly donut.
So make sure there's no misunderstanding.
But do you think there should be a draft? Call in 866-570-PEN, 7366. If you don't have letters on your phone, 866-570-PEN, 7366. If you think there should be a draft or shouldn't be a draft, I'm thrilled with there not being a draft.
They're talking about between 18 and 42. So I think they stand very little chance of getting this passed.
Well, what'd you say the vote was when the last time you brought this up?
400-2. Well, now, I saw one article, and I didn't get a chance to read this, that said he voted against it himself. Once it got up to his age, he probably went, oh, wait a sec.
PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Well, I mean, he must be older than that, because he's a veteran of Korea. He must be older than 42.
The first was 18 to 76.
Yeah, in 2003, Rangel proposed a measure covering people age 18 to 26. It was defeated 402-2 the following year. This year, he offered a plan to mandate military service for men and women for the ages of 18 and 42. It went nowhere in the Republican-led Congress. Democrats will control the House and Senate come January because of their victories in the November 7th election. So, at a time when some lawmakers are urging the military to send more troops to Iraq, I don't see how anyone can support the war and not support the draft, said Rangel, who has also proposed a draft in January 2003 before the U.S. invasion of Iraq. I think to do so is hypocritical. I do not think so. I think you can say, first of all, I should say that I'm a super isolationist pacifist. I would have nothing to do. I would bring all the servicemen back here right away if I were in charge. But I don't think it's hypocritical to be able to say this should be done and someone else can do it. It's not hypocritical for me to say there should be landscaping around my house and I'm going to pay someone to do it. And that's all the military is. Volunteer army means
hiring people to protect you.
We're going to hire you. Protect you. You can hire people. We pay police officers. I mean, police officers aren't conscripted. They just go in voluntarily, and we pay them. And I think it's a fine way to do it. Fine way to do it. But we get a lot of calls that argue about this and go back, and we're going to get to those. We're going to take a little break, then we'll be back. We're talking about the draft, 866-570-PEN, 7366. I want to point out, people, this is your fault. We could be talking about breasts this whole hour, but you didn't call in. So now you're stuck with the draft, okay? I hope you're satisfied. I hope you're satisfied. Ben Gillette, we'll be back. Yeah, this is Ben Gillette. Ben Gillette on the big free FM. I was just finishing up some email there while I was talking there. Renee's writing to me while I'm trying to talk on the radio.
Of course you are.
This is Penn Jillette on Free FM, CBS Radio, 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. The thing is that Renee, our buddy Renee, does want to talk breasts. So she's got my attention. All this draft stuff is pouring in, but the people who want to talk breasts have actually got my attention.
Well, we've got someone who's actually crossed over both.
What do you mean?
Someone has suggested free Kevlar breast implants for anyone going into the military.
We have Heather, who seems very sexy. Hey, guys, I want to know another subject, but I want to share my thoughts with my experience. I had saline implants put in about 4 years ago. I told the surgeon while he was marking up my body pre-surgery, which is so much sexier than it should be. She didn't say that. I said that. That's so sexy. That I wanted softcore porn breasts, not hardcore porn breasts. I now wear a 38D and not one man I've been with since has detected that they're not real. I recommend them to all. Well, Heather, that's from Heather. They are real, Heather. They are real. They're just not genetically coded. They're real. I remember a friend of mine saying at Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Greatest Show on Earth that he heard a little kid crying about a giant Easter bunny in a parade, and the mother was saying to the kid, "That's not real. That's not real. It is real. Don't tell the kid he's hallucinating. It is real, but it's a real guy in a bunny suit. It's not a real little rabbit." So I think it's important. The breasts are real. They're just not genetic.
Your kid's not old enough to have this fight yet, but you're going to have some fun with that.
I am?
Because my kid is constantly, what is real? What is that real? Is that real?
Uh-huh.
Is this a real toy airplane?
Is the question that
he will often ask. Is this a real toy train?
Would your son be able to tell Heather's breasts?
I don't know.
We're not genetically coded? You don't think so?
No.
Can you figure that out? 866-570-PEN 7366. I'm trying everything I can to give our listeners a second chance to move this from the draft, you know, absolute bummer subject to we're going to go to Buzzkill. I wanted to talk breasts. You want to talk draft? Don't blame me. Let's talk to Russ. How you doing, Russ?
Good. How are you guys?
Never been better, boss. Never been better. What's up?
Listening to you in Chicago. Glad when you came back to real time. Love the show.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you. What's up?
This needs to be longer.
Okay, we'll think about that.
First of all, I just want to tell you that the more I listen to you talk about the libertarian point of view, the more I think about switching over to being a libertarian, first of all.
What do you call yourself now?
Republican.
Okay.
Stressed out Republican.
There's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. Explain this to me, though. I think that the Republican idea of smaller government is a great idea, but they haven't done that in years. I mean, not really since Reagan.
No, Reagan was truly the last great Republican president.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like all other great men, his genius was not realized during his time. And it took 20, 30 years for people to realize, hey, wait a minute, Reagan actually knew what he was doing. And now he'll go down as one of the greatest presidents in history. But when he was president, everybody thought he was a whack job.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. When he was president, I did not like Reagan at all. I was a major Reagan hater. And now I look back, and maybe it's just because of, simply relativity. We've had such lousy presidents since then. I mean, I don't see a difference between Bush and Clinton, and I know a lot of people think there's a huge difference there. I see no difference at all. And going for smaller government seems good. What do you think about the draft?
Well, my opinion is this. I'm of an age where I'm no longer eligible for the draft. I'll be 37 years old in February. But on my 18th birthday, I had to go down to the post office. I had to register. They sent me that little green and white card in the mail with this number of death on it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay? If they're going to reinstitute the draft in the true spirit of the co-ed volunteer army or volunteer military, then they also need to make girls of the age of 18 eligible for the draft. They should have to go down and register along with the men.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people in favor of just getting people in this country to do a lot more registering. I mean, there's going to be some sort of national ID card. And all this stuff happens at times of stress. But do you feel good about a volunteer army?
I think the volunteer army is working out well for us, and God bless anyone who's willing to sign up and put their butt on the line in order to support the way of life that we have in this country. I applaud anybody that does that.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is the military is not always used for the most noble purpose.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure.
You know, Washington's military, Washington beat the Hessians because he didn't give up, he stood his ground, and even fought wars on Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Washington's military is long gone, and the noble purposes that this country were founded on, that the military was used to uphold and support, are long gone with it. The military has become nothing more than it seems to me like a large police force.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going on, and certainly more for policing the world world police, as the South Park boys would say. But one more question, Russ. I'm going to move on to someone else. Wouldn't you rather we were talking about breasts?
Oh, look burnt.
Yeah,
sure. Can't be to talk about breasts. What do you want to? What do you want to talk about?
I'm just
about?
Saying it's your fault. You could have called in early with a breast question, but instead we moved on to the draft. Thank you so much, Russ. Thank you. I just, you know, I like to let people know what they're missing. Renee is driving me crazy. She keeps popping up. I'm going to have to block her. She keeps popping up on my instant messages, just talking about her breasts in detail, the density and how much punishment. She's going on about everything. So she's driving me crazy because Russ is talking about his draft status, and I'm just not thinking about it. So, Renee, stop instant messaging me. Some self-control, woman. Show some self-control. Let's take another phone call. Let's talk to Ed. How you doing, Ed?
Hi, Ben. Great show.
Thanks so much, man. What's up?
Just wanted to say, I think it's kind of hypocritical of the Democrats to be counting this out right now. You know, back in the 2004 election, they were saying, oh, if President Bush gets reelected, he's going to reinstitute the draft. Now look at who's bringing up the draft.
Well, I wanted to say that it's very, you want to be fair. I don't know why you want to be fair, but you might as well be fair. It is one guy, really. It is Charles Rangel that's doing this. It's not the Democrats. I don't think we've heard that out of Hillary or any of those people. So
everyone on both sides voted against it last time he tried this. So.
Right.
Everybody. So it's not.
Yeah, well,
it's really a false issue. And I you know, I hate that part of talk radio where you do just fear mongering and craziness. I'm blaming myself. I want to make it very, very clear that we're just discussing this completely hypothetically.
I completely understand that. Yeah. But, you know, for them to. The Democratic Party made a big point during the 2004 elections to say the draft is going to be reinstated under President Bush.
They did do that, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
And now all of a sudden, here's Charlie Rangel bringing up, oh, we're going to try to bring back the draft again. You know, it's coming out of the Democratic side of the aisle now, not the Republican side.
It's bothersome when it's coming from both sides. Are you? What is your feeling on it?
I'm 42 years old, so yeah, I'd be out of it anyway. And you know, I have two young daughters, mm-hmm. and if they want to serve in the military, I'm fine with them volunteering military force.
Uh-huh.
You know, I come from my family was almost all Navy except for a few Army people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never served.
Yeah.
I never had the temperament to.
Yeah, well.
And if I'd rather have it be their choice if they want to serve or not.
Yeah, well, I certainly think so, too. Godot's the one that thinks no.
No, I don't think no.
Thanks so much, Ed. Well, you said you liked the argument.
I like the argument. I like the argument of saying, well, if you're going to keep putting these wars up, let's put your kids in the fight.
Yeah,
let's put your dog in this fight and see how you feel about it.
I don't know, though. I still think you can hire other people to do jobs.
I absolutely agree with you. But I think what he's saying is, does this scare you? How about this? Does that hurt?
But that's not the way. You should make decisions. I mean, I don't think that I should be more pro or anti-war because I might be going in. I believe that my feelings on politics were exactly the same when I was 18 and when I was 51 about war. I would not have wanted anyone to go to Vietnam. I don't want anyone to go to Iraq. And the question of whether I'm in the strike zone doesn't make any difference at all.
And I think Rangel knows that. 400 of 402 people voted against him. I think he knows he's perfectly safe. I think he's making a point.
Okay.
I don't think it's
poetry as opposed to politics.
I think it's performance art.
Well, we've got a ton of people that have written in, and we've got a ton of people on the phones. I'm going to come back to them, and I just want to tell you, you know, we could be talking breasts, but instead we're talking the draft. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Shut up, Renee. This is Ben Gillette of the Big 3 FM, sitting here with Michael Goodell, CBS Radio, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com, that's Penn with two N's, PENNRADIO. PenRadio.com. We had a little bit of a conference. Happy Jack came into this room. He usually stays in a separate room from us, but he came in. Patrick was in another decision, but he said that he wanted to talk breasts. Michael Goudeau wants to talk breasts. I wanted to talk breasts. And America seems to want to talk about the draft. So what we're going to do is we're going to, I think we're going to do another show after this, because there's a few shows where I can't be here at that time. I'm traveling or something. We have to have a few of them in the can. And you know, we do that. It's not any big secret. We sometimes try to conceal it, but Renee is still writing me about this, making me crazy. We try to conceal it once in a while. But this is what we're going to do right up front. If you have a breast story or you want to talk about breasts, we're going to do a full hour of breast stories. We're going to record it right after this. So if you want to talk breasts, wait until the show is just about over, right near the end of it, and then call in 866-570-PEN 7366. We'll do a whole show like that. You can also write into penradio@gmail.com. But now we are back to the draft. How you doing, Matt?
How you doing, Pat? How you doing, Michael?
We're great.
What's up?
This show is going the opposite way today. Something is wrong. I've been on hold, and now you want to talk about the draft, and I want to talk about breasts.
I know. That's a big problem. What we're going to do then is stay on the line. Happy Jack will get your phone number, and we'll put you.
I got something pretty funny to say, though. I had a moment of realization that that's what's wrong with this country, is that you have the opportunity to talk about breasts, and everyone wants to talk about the draft.
Exactly. That is so true. That is, you know, a lot of people say, you know what's wrong with this country, and they're always wrong about that. Matt, I think you've hit it right on the head. Why would people choose that? Why do people choose war over peace and tenderness and love? That's what I want to know. What is so goddamn funny about peace, love, understanding, and breasts? But you hold on, Matt, because we're going to...
Okay.
Jack's going to grab you. You'll be on the breast show. Let's talk to Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going?
Never
mind. I think we can all agree, Republican, Democrat, whatever you are, that, I mean, the main problem with the draft in any way is that it takes away basic rights, civil liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then again, we do need soldiers and all this. But, again, you know, I'm 20 years old. I do not want to be ripped out of my college education because they want me to go shoot people in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
You know, just not what's going to happen. But, I mean, there's. I was reading up on it, and I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Call to Service Act a couple of years back.
Yeah.
It was pitched by John McCain. It was, because I think the minimum service requirements in the military is about 4 years for every branch. And this was an idea, it never went through, for a minimum service of 18 months in active duty, then 18 months in active duty, and then in addition to your regular military pay, they give you $18,000 towards your education loans.
Uh-huh.
Someone like me, I mean, I'm a regular college student. You know, I don't want to go to school 4 years and then sit another 4 years in the military.
Right.
You know, and at the same time, I don't even agree with the war at all. I don't, you know, most people don't. But I think the military, on the other hand, is a great, you know, life experience with grandfather said World War II and all that. You know, I think there's compromising incentives they can get out there to get more people to sign up, as opposed to, you know, saying you must go into, you know, war.
So you think they could just do better incentives like better education and better money in a shorter period of time you'd have to sign up?
Oh, without a doubt. That's my major thing is the, you know, short period of time. Like, I know I've heard stories, so many horror stories of these recruiters just flat out lying to, you know, kids right out of high school, 17, 18, telling them, oh, yeah, you won't even, you know, see any action. You're not going to go to Iraq. Next thing you know, these kids are in hell, you know what I mean? They don't have no life experience, and they're being strapped with guns. And that's just, like we said, you know, with that, we're sending out children to war. You know what I mean? We're young people that are dying because of 50, 60-year-old politicians, you know, have a disagreement. That's just...
Well, that's, you know, that's the idea that Goudeau thinks Rangel is doing. He's reminding people that these are people just like their sons and daughters. And, you know, we don't have anyone in government that's 20 years old, and that's a big problem. You know, when the what is it the Stone said, when the old men do the fighting and the young men choose the wars or something. I think there's a lot to say for that. Well, cool, Sean.
That.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you so much. Sean would have been a much better call if he'd been calling about breasts. Don't you?
yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, you know, here's an email from Heath in the military. He's actually in the military, and he says the best thing about the military now is the people here are in it by choice. No one in the military at this time is serving in the military against their own free will. And, you know, that's got to make a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. You'd rather be working with people who want to be here. Like, I'm so sorry that you're chained to the desk here to do the show.
Yeah.
I think if you were here of your own free will, we'd have a lot more fun with it. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Think we would?
Yeah.
Here's a letter from Mike who says, "Hey, guys, now that I'm 42 and have had bone removed from my shoulder and would not pass any physical, I'm all for the draft." just joking. I think the military would do a lot of good for today's generation. Kids today have absolutely no respect for anyone or anything. If there's one thing you'll learn in the service, it is respect. I did not join myself, but it made a big difference in my brother's life. As for breasts, I agree that a woman should be happy. Fish sandwich, Mike. I disagree with that. I don't think, you know, I've said this many times on the air, and I'll probably say it many times again. I think the kids are all right. I think the kids are all right. The idea that there's less respect now is just wrong. They said that in Roman times. They said that in the 19th century. They said that way back in the 20th century when Pluto was a planet. And they're saying it now. They always carry on about how terrible the kids are today. And it is just a sign you're getting older. If you think the kids are terrible today, it just means you're now really, really old.
That's
so
right.
Get out of the new one if you can't lend a hand. Because the times, they aren't a-changing. This is out of the blue. This is totally, we're jumping around a lot, and Jack's getting upset about this, but I've got to read this. "Hey, guys, check out PlayStation 3 on eBay. For a mere $10 million, you can get your PS3 delivered in person anywhere in the world with a Santa suit." I just think that's a great thing. We could tie that with breasts in the draft. Let's talk to Karen. Let's talk to Karen. How are you doing, Karen?
Hi, how are you?
Never better, boss. Never better. How are you?
All right. I've never called before, so first I'll just say that I have total respect for all veterans.
Yes, of course.
And I'm very passionate about this subject because this morning I actually called Rangel's office and commented.
Uh-huh.
And basically, my family has a very long military service, and I feel that maybe they could do something where if your family, someone in your family has served, you would be considered exempt, and let some of the people who have recently immigrated into our country serve, and maybe make a law that new people moving here would have an automatic two-year mandatory time of service.
So the first generation Americans would fight the wars?
No, I'm saying that, like, I have relatives back to the Civil War, to World War One. Mm-hmm. To my father was in World War Two. My brothers were in
sure.
Vietnam. I feel my family has served their time. There's a lot of people that have come to this country since then that have not served, and I think they need to reach out to the people that have no military history in serving their country if they want to pull people in and draft them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that doesn't sound right, but, you know, maybe if people are going to move here and they find out that, well, I'm going to have to serve, maybe they'll think twice. Maybe they'll cut down on some of the immigration. I don't know. I just now as a mother have a different opinion. I am very patriotic, and I have total respect for everyone uh-huh. that served their time. But I don't think it's fair, you know, that people can, and there's a lot of people that are here that will not even get drafted because they're not even here legally.
Well, you know, we're also only one nut is talking about bringing the draft back in, and everybody voted against it.
So I
it's
know.
Not, it's not
it
a
scares
real,
me, though. It
it's not a real
me.
Issue yet. But the idea that that immigrants should have to, as part of their immigration, put someone in their family in the draft, that's very complicated legislation.
I know, but, you know, my relative got off the boat from Ireland in New York and went into a,
well,
I mean, that's that. But, you know, if you want the freedom of living in this country and uh-huh. the benefits that you give, you're going to have to give of yourself also.
Yeah, well, you know, I that's a point of view I definitely don't agree with, because I think that volunteering is better than force in any sort of situation.
I totally agree. But if it comes down to taking someone whose family has given their time already I mean, we've had relatives. I mean, I feel like my family has done their time. Don't get me wrong. I certainly believe in defending our country. However, I live in an area where there's a lot of people from all different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they're all legal, and I don't know that they would be affected by the draft because they're not even a legal citizen to have to go register at the post office.
I see. Well, I think you've made your point very clearly, and I think it's an interesting point, not one that I go with, but I'm going to move on now. But thanks a lot, Karen. If you want to say something else, go ahead.
I'm not saying that I think only immigrants should. Don't get me wrong.
Okay,
I'm just saying that I think that it shouldn't just be on the people who are all here. And you have, you know, my kids' names and numbers through me filing my income tax
right.
and things like that. I'm just saying that if they're going to do it, they really need to come up with a good way to reach everyone of age.
Yes, or in my way of looking at it, to reach no one. Which is to say,
I totally agree with you.
So I would go with no one first, and then everyone would be a distant second for me. But thanks a lot, Karen.
Someone else has suggested that we just draft all the children of congressmen. So if you run for Congress, your children are running for the military. If you're elected, they're in.
There just aren't enough.
Now, that seems like a fine. Yeah, well they're not enough. You could add that in addition to the volunteer.
Oh, I see. So you have the volunteer, and you have
everyone from Congress.
Well, you know, we could do that without having a law. We could just, if people only voted for people who had family in the military,
wow, nice.
They would solve that whole thing. You could start, you know, you could start an advertising group that just pointed out who had, and just don't vote for anybody who doesn't have kids in the military. You know, who's going to vote for that's going to push for that kind of war type thing might solve everything. And that's what we're here for, is solving problems. And let's just say we're giving you another chance. We tried to do a whole show about breasts, and you wouldn't let us. You wanted to talk about the draft. So now, if you want to call in now, the show is ending, but call in right now, 866-570-PEN, 7366. If we get enough calls about breasts, we'll do a whole show about breasts, 866-570-PEN. Or you can call in at penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. If you call up, we'll put you on hold. You'll hear us doing the show for the can, and you can be on and talk about breasts for the whole time. And won't that be fun? It'll be, well, what this really is this is an all-volunteer breast show. It's all volunteer. It's no conscription whatsoever. We're not going to call anyone against their will. But if you want to talk about breasts, just call on up, and we will talk about that.
Let's run it on Christmas Day.
The gift of the Magi. But I think there's a whole show in breasts, don't you?
Let's hope.
We can talk. We can talk about implants and natural and all sorts of stuff. And come around. Now, I feel bad about this because there's people on the phone that have really important points about the draft. And please forgive us for being silly here at the end of the show. We are going to do another show. We've got to put one in the can while we're away, and we're going to do that. And we're afraid that the draft thing might not be good in a couple of weeks, whereas breasts are, as far as I can see, perennial.
Eternal.
They're evergreen. They're eternal. We can talk about them forever. So we'll have that coming up. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau. We are on the free FM. And we'll be back tomorrow, I think, today's Monday. So tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, is Tuesday. And that makes it Monkey Tuesday! Tomorrow is Monkey Tuesday. We'll be back.